Hello, my name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. The title of this podcast is Passive Investing versus Rational Investing. And this podcast lays the groundwork for all of the strategies that are discussed at my website, and also for the strategies that I'll be discussing in future podcasts. There really are only two investing models that you can go with: the passive investing model, which is by far the dominant model of today, and the rational investing model, which is the investing model that I advocate in my writings. There are, of course, many different approaches within these. There are approaches, there's momentum investing, and there's value investing, and there's indexing, and on and on and on. There are many different approaches to investing, but all of them fall either into the passive investing camp or into the rational investing camp, or evidence some mix of those two approaches. What is passive investing? Please don't think when I refer to passive investing that I'm talking about indexing. There are some who confuse the two. I've seen passive investing described as essentially being indexing. That's not at all the case. The thing that we're talking about when we talk about being passive as investors is the stock allocation that you choose. A passive investor is an investor who does not see the need to change his stock allocation, even when prices change dramatically. That's what passive investing is all about. You can be an indexer and change your stock allocation in response to price changes. That's valuation-informed indexing. So it is not necessarily the case that indexers are passive investors, although it certainly is true that there are a good number of indexers who follow the passive investing approach today. What is rational investing? Rational investing is just the opposite. Rational investing is an approach to investing in which the investor appreciates the need to change his stock allocation in response to dramatic price changes. So there's really only one factor that distinguishes the two models of investing: whether you respond to price changes or whether you ignore price changes. And it really does all come down to that. Now, when I talk about these ideas, the biggest hurdle that middle-class investors have in accepting the merit of them is that they look around and they notice two things. One, the vast majority of investors today are following passive investing. And so the natural thought that we have is, there must be something to it. Why would all of these people be following this approach if it does not work or if it does not make sense? And secondly, it's not only their fellow investors that are following this approach. When we look around, we see that most investing experts follow this approach. Most of the big name experts today advocate some form of passive investing. Think about the slogans you have heard that you've had drilled into your head thousands of times over the past 20 or 30 years: buy and hold, stocks for the long run, timing never works, stay the course. These are all slogans that have an idea at their core, which is part of the passive investing family of ideas. All of these slogans are passive investing slogans. Most of these ideas do make some sense. They are half-truths. And if you examine them, you will find there is some good in them. But there also is a good bit of bad in them. And the bad is that passive investing element, which is mixed in with the good. So people look at this and they say, most of my fellow investors are following passive investing approaches. Most of the experts are recommending passive investing approaches. Who am I to question this? Well, you have to look at this from a different perspective, from a broader perspective. You sort of need to pull yourself out of the passive investing mindset to understand what is going on. The best way I know to do this is to look at the historical stock return data, because that will tell you how stocks have always performed throughout history. And when you get a broad historical perspective, it's very different from the perspective you get looking at what people say about stocks today. Because what people say about stocks today is, of course, influenced by how stocks have been performing in recent years. So when stocks are performing in irrational ways, which they sometimes do, people adopt irrational models to understand the stock market. And that's what we have today. We have the irrational model of investing becoming dominant. And the only way you can really get outside of that and assess it and see the flaws in it and see the irrationality in it is to go outside of the current era and look historically at how stocks have always performed. If you look historically, what you will see is there are many times when stock investing is a largely rational endeavor. And then there are other times in history when stock investing becomes highly emotional, intensely emotional. And those are the times of extreme high stock prices and extreme low stock prices. And we are today living through the longest period of extremely high stock prices ever experienced in the history of the United States. So this is an intensely emotional time for stock investors. And that emotion itself influences what the experts say about how stock investing works and what your fellow investors say. So what you're hearing is not reason. You're not hearing experts who are especially reasonable people. They're smart people, to be sure. The experts have studied investing and they have experience running funds and all this sort of thing. So they're very intelligent. They're highly intelligent. But like all humans, they have emotions. And their emotions influence their beliefs. Emotions always influence our beliefs. And because they're living through this highly emotional time, they are reporting back to you investing strategies that are by nature highly emotional. And passive investing is a purely emotional strategy. Now, when I say that most investors are following some form of passive investing, I do not mean that most investors are entirely irrational. Most investors are somewhat irrational today. They are following passive investing to some extent because they've heard so many people advocate it, they think it must be true. So they go along with it. But most investors also are somewhat rational. They haven't lost access to their common sense. And what happens is when prices are at the levels they are today, it is inevitable that they will fall because the market price has to reflect the economic realities. It must, ultimately. So prices will fall. And as prices fall, investors become more open to considering realistic strategies. As prices fall, investors become unhappy with this passive investing model and they say, wait a minute, this doesn't add up. It's not reflecting how stocks are performing, so there must be something wrong with it. And eventually they suffer enough financial pain as the result of following these emotional strategies that they abandon them. They sell their stocks and they become open to more rational strategies. So we are now in a process. Stock prices have been falling for 9 years now. We are now in a process of returning to a more rational approach to investing. We're still at an extremely emotional point today. We are still at one of the highest valuation levels ever seen in the history of the U.S. market. So I don't want to paint too bright a picture, but we are perhaps halfway there. We have suffered a good bit over the past 9 years. Investors that had their money in super safe asset classes have been doing better than investors in the high-risk asset class of stocks for 9 years now. So we are starting the journey back to a more reasonable, level-headed, realistic understanding of how stocks work. But if you want to understand how stocks work before suffering all of this financial pain, then you do need to try to pull yourself out a little bit of the craziest of the emotional stuff and try to root yourself in the economic realities. To understand how stock investing works is not hard. It's very simple, very easy, intellectually. Intellectually, it's very easy. The hard part, of course, is that emotional part. Emotionally, whenever stock prices are where they are today, very high, most people want to believe that prices do not matter. Say that you're trying to retire and you're running out of time and you need big returns on your investments to get to where you need to be. Well, you're not going to want to hear the realities of stock investing, that when we're at the sorts of prices that apply today, solid returns are very unlikely. You're going to want to believe that we can earn that normal 6.5 real return from stocks. That's what you want to hear emotionally. And the passive investing approach tells you that that's perfectly reasonable. The passive investing approach says it's always a good time to be in stocks, which implicitly is a statement that stocks can always provide good returns. But of course, this is not so, not in the real world. The passive investing world is an artificial world created not for the purpose of tapping into rationality, human reason. It's created for the purpose of rationalizing, which is very different than reasoning, rationalizing a heavy investment in stocks at a time when stocks cannot provide a good long-term return. So my goal in all of these podcasts is to hopefully connect with some people who are beginning to have doubts about the passive investing model, who are tired of seeing the money they have in stocks not produce a strong return, who feel they're taking on too much risk and obtaining too little in the way of return. And I want to encourage those people to think this through, to get in touch with their common sense, to lower their stock allocation with the idea not of abandoning stocks permanently, but with the idea of learning how stocks work in the real world so that when prices come down, when everybody else is abandoning stocks, they will be getting back into stocks, because that's when stocks can again provide a very strong long-term return. So let's go through an example of how stocks work in the real world. And of course, in the real world, the non-passive investing world, stocks perform like all other asset classes. Stocks are an asset class that is bought and sold. And so, as with all other investment classes or all other things that can be bought and sold, the price that you pay affects the long-term value proposition. Say that you were buying a car, and you've decided on the model. You know the model you want. You know what options you want. You know what color you want, all this sort of thing. You've researched the car on Consumer Reports, and you've learned that the fair value of the car is $20,000. And you decide to call three dealers, and you tell them you don't want to hear any advice. You know what car you're going to buy. You want them to quote you a price. And the first dealer He tells you that there's a contest going on, and if he can sell one more of this model of car by noon tomorrow, he wins the contest. So he's willing to sell you the car at a loss. And he says, the car's worth $20,000, but if you come in by noon tomorrow and complete the transaction, I will sell it to you for $10,000. The second dealer, he tells you, I'm willing to offer you a good deal, but that's the best I can do. This car is worth $20,000. I will sell it to you for $20,000. And the third dealer tells you, I only have one of this model left in my inventory, and I've had 6 or 7 customers come in and tell me they want to buy this model. So I believe I can get a lot better than fair value price for this car. I'll sell you the car for $40,000. Which deal do you choose? If you have any sense whatsoever, you're going to choose the first dealer, the one who will sell you the car for $10,000. This is obvious. Now, if you take the good deal, does that mean that there is zero chance that you will ultimately regret having done it? It does not mean that. It's possible that you could buy the $10,000 car, take it out on the highway, and find that it had a defect. The tire comes off, and you get in an accident, and you're paralyzed for life. You might look back and say, given what happened, I wish that I had bought the $40,000 car. Still, the best way to go, the way to get the odds on your side, are to go with the $10,000 car. And the same, of course, applies in investing. When buying stocks, you want to buy stocks at good prices. You don't want to buy stocks at the sort of prices that apply today. This podcast was recorded in July of 2008. You want to buy stocks at reasonable prices. Or better yet, if you're able to, you want to buy stocks at low prices. But the long-term value proposition is strong enough that if you can get stocks at any reasonable price, you generally want to buy them. You want to go with a fairly high stock allocation whenever prices are out of the red alert danger zone where we are today. So that's the rational approach to buying stocks. Now, you might say, why doesn't everyone follow the rational approach? Why doesn't everyone take prices into account? The short answer to that question is stocks have both a rational component to them and an emotional component. When you buy stocks, you're buying shares in the productivity of a corporate enterprise. Or if you buy an index, you're buying a share in the productivity of the U.S. economy. That's the rational side of investing. And that's the side of stock investing that pays off very, very well. By tapping into the productivity of the U.S. economy, you can earn a very nice return for yourself with your savings. So that's the part of saving that is exciting and the part that you want to participate in. But the other side of investing is this emotional side. And what happens with the emotional side is when stocks begin going up more than 6.5%, more than the amount that can be justified by the economic realities, people are drawn to that. We all have within us a get-rich-quick impulse, and we see our friends getting rich quick, and we hear stories in the media of people getting rich quick, and we want to participate. But there's something that stops us. It's our common sense or our human reason. Our human reason says, where does the money come from? Come on. It's all fake. I'm not going to put my money in that. It's a Ponzi scheme. And so a lot of people hold back. But then the bull market continues and they hear their friends making even more money. And they're even more distressed. And at some point, they're worn out. At some point, they give up and they say, you know what? All this human reason stuff is just fine and dandy, but there comes a point where you have to admit you've lost. You have to quit. You have to go with what works. And what works is being emotional. What seems to work in a bull market is being emotional, giving up your human reason, investing in stocks regardless of price, and then sticking with that stock allocation forever. So when people decide for emotional reasons that they want to buy overpriced stocks, and of course, they don't want to admit to themselves or to others that they're being irrational. No human likes to admit to being irrational. So they cook up rationalizations. They cook up what they call models or strategies that are rooted in irrationality. And that's where passive investing comes in. Passive investing always becomes extremely popular during wild, out-of-control bull markets. It goes by different names. They don't always call it passive investing, but the same basic concept, the idea that it is acceptable or okay, or heaven help us all, a good idea to ignore prices, to stay at the same stock allocation regardless of how high prices go. That idea catches on like wildfire every time prices get out of control. And they've never gotten as out of control as they have this time. We're now living in the aftermath of the most out-of-control bull market in U.S. history. So passive investing is more popular today than it has ever been, which means irrational investing is more popular today than it has ever been. Now, when you saw the title for this podcast, you may have had a funny reaction to it. You may have thought it was an odd title. Passive investing versus rational investing. There's an insult implicit in that, isn't there? I'm contrasting two investing models, and I'm saying one is rational. Well, the clear implication is that the other is not rational, and that the people following it are not rational. And yet, I say that 90% of investors today are following some version of the passive investing model. Am I not insulting 90% of the people who I am hoping will click on this podcast? I am. I'm not the sort of person who wakes up in the morning saying, what can I do today to insult my listeners? How can I make some people feel bad? How can I make some people feel agitated or even angry? That's not where I'm coming from. Where I'm coming from is, it is my job as somebody who offers guidance on how to invest effectively, to help people to overcome their emotional dependence on the passive investing model, and to try to learn about the rational investing model, which is the model that has always succeeded in the long term, in contrast to passive investing, which has never succeeded in the long term. Now, you obviously will hear a different story today. If you ask passive investors, has your model ever worked? They're going to say, of course it works. It worked from 1982 to 2000. It worked like gangbusters, and it did. Irrational investing strategies always work when the market is irrational. It was irrational for prices to go to where they went in the late 1990s. Totally irrational. So passive investing worked like a charm. Truth be told, if you go back to the 1980s, there was nothing irrational about the price increases we saw then. Stock prices were extremely low in 1982. So all we were doing in the early years of that huge bull market was catching up. We were just moving in the direction of fair price, fair value. But in the 1990s, we exceeded fair value by a huge amount. By the late 1990s, we were at totally insane price levels. And now we are gradually working our way back down again. And as I say, we're probably about halfway there. So people are slowly losing confidence in the passive investing model. Good riddance. We don't need irrational investing models. What we need are rational investing models. Rational investing models are the models that work. So what we want to be doing is abandoning passive investing, abandoning the idea that prices do not matter, and learning about the investing model of the future rational investing, the model that actually works in the real world. Now, I'll tell you something very interesting about the people who advocate passive investing. If you go to them and you say, do you really disagree that prices matter? Do you know what they'll say? They'll say no. I've done this. I've spoken with tens of thousands of middle-class investors, many of them investors who follow the passive investing model. And I've even spoken with a number of experts in this field who advocate the passive investing model. And I have never yet run into one who will flat out say that prices do not affect long-term returns. There was one guy once on a discussion board who came close. He said it in one post, and then I asked for follow-up. I asked him to explain why he thought that, and he dropped out of the discussion. But I've never had anyone who was willing to defend the idea that prices do not affect long-term returns. So you could argue, from one way of looking at it, that everyone is a rational investor, that there's a universal consensus that prices affect long-term returns. That could be said. What makes someone a passive investor, though, is they don't take what they know to be true and let it influence their investing decisions. So if you ask a passive investor, do you agree that prices affect long-term returns? They will shake their head yes. They will say yes. Ask them, okay, how do you go about changing your stock allocation in response to price changes? And then you'll get a very different answer. Then they will say, oh, no, that's timing the market. I can't do that. That's not passive investing. Well, it is timing the market, isn't it? If you see that prices are so high that the long-term value proposition of stocks is poor, and as a result of that, you pull back on stocks a little bit, you are timing the market, are you not? You are. The idea that it's not possible to time the market is itself irrational. It is an absurdity. It is certainly true that there are approaches to timing that do not work. I do not believe that short-term timing works. Short-term timing is where you try to pick bottoms and tops and jump in at a bottom and jump out at a top and all this sort of craziness. There is much evidence in the historical record that short-term timing does not work and cannot work. What you need to understand is that that same historical data that shows that short-term timing does not work shows that long-term timing does work. Long-term timing has always worked. Long-term timing is not changing your stock allocation with the thought that you're going to obtain a benefit for doing so within a year or two. It's changing your stock allocation with the understanding that that's what will work in the long term, that you always want to keep your risk level roughly constant. So when the risk of stocks goes sky high, you need to lower your allocation a bit in response to that reality. So short-term timing does not work. Long-term timing does work. But what the passive investing enthusiasts will just say is timing doesn't work. And they don't distinguish. They don't distinguish between the approach to timing that works and the approach to timing that does not work. And again, that's not because intellectually they cannot understand there's a difference. These many passive investors are intellectually very sharp people. It's an emotional desire not to accept that long-term timing works. Because if long-term timing works, they then feel required to base their investing strategies around that reality, to invest rationally, and they don't want to. Have you ever known someone who knew he was doing something bad for himself, and no matter how many rational arguments, you could not persuade him? Someone who's an alcoholic, and he's lost his job, and he's lost his wife and his family, and he's lost his health, and he's lost his money, and you say, why don't you get it? Why don't you change? He gets it. He understands intellectually. emotionally, he's very vulnerable. Emotionally, he's been harmed, and he needs the drink. He needs some emotional help. Similarly, a passive investor is someone who emotionally is invested in the passive investing concept and has a very hard time giving it up. There are all different levels of how emotionally attached we can be to this idea. The true dogmatic passive investors won't be able to give it up until they are ruined. These stories are very sad, but most investors are not in that category. Most sort of go along with passive investing because it's popular and because the experts recommend it. And then as they begin to suffer serious financial pain, they are open to changes. They are open to considering a rational approach. So we will be exploring the rational approach to investing in future podcasts. I hope you will watch for them and listen in. I hope you will send me feedback on what you hear. Good luck with your investing strategies. Take care.